on to case number 7-083284, United States versus Lopez Popoca. Well, you'll tell me what I did wrong there, won't you?
Nothing wrong, Your Honor. That's exactly right.
Really?
Yes.
Thank you.
May it please?
Hello, Mr. Rolig.
Good morning, Your Honor. Tim Rolig on behalf of Mr. Lopez Popoca. May it please the Court. There's no question that Mr. Lopez Popoca was a drug dealer. He admitted such in his plea agreement. The question before Your Honors is whether or not the independent contractors that he also worked with justified a finding that he was a manager-supervisor of five or more participants. The facts in this case were developed mainly through a plea agreement that Mr. Lopez Popoca entered into, plea agreements of two other individuals who were involved, and then a series of DEA-6s.
Were any other participants identified beyond the unnamed Mexican nationals who supplied the cocaine and heroin?
I don't believe so. There was a name of an individual given by the name of El Grande, and it's unclear to me who that individual is, if it relates to a particular individual that's already named or is a separate individual. And
so could you just review for me? I mean, there are these various people who float in and out of this case, and some of them are government informants, but we have the two unnamed Mexican nationals. That's two people. We have Mr. Lopez Popoca himself, and then we have Pasión Ríos and Delgado Ocasio. Is this at least the theory of the five?
Well, I think that's four out of the, if I'm doing my math correctly.
Who else?
I believe there is another individual that is also named. And I would assume that would be the individual El Grande.
El Grande is different from the other unnamed Mexican nationals.
Again, this gets to the problem of the factual development here, which it's not clear. It is a statement in a DEA. Well, I can't call it a statement because, of course, it's in a DEA 6.
DEA
we know
6, sure.
Those are not statements. Sometimes.
But they're
they
close.
Depending on your perspective, from defense counsel's perspective, they're rarely statements. We can't use them. We can't cross-examine. We get hamstrung sometimes by that fact. But it goes to the point of the development of the facts in the record. There are merely conclusions about the involvement of these particular individuals, and the district court basically made his decision based on these conclusions in these DEA-6s, that a person was directed or that a person worked for the defendant.
It seems to me your problems are twofold there. Number one, as you were just saying, in sentencing, hearsay rules and the like don't apply, so the district court's entitled to take these DEA 6 documents into account. And number two, you're really facing a clear error standard on the proper characterization of Pasión Ríos and Delgado Ocasio. The district court thinks that they are more like people who report to Mr. Lopez Popoca, and you know, you may be right. There may be a way of looking at it that they're more independent, but that's the district court's call to make.
I understand that, and I agree with the assessment of what the law, Your Honor, just put up the law as being in there. I guess the question is this: when even under clear error, there have to be some factual development that allow that conclusion to be made, something other than merely conclusions.
And why aren't their statements enough to provide that missing link?
Because they don't give what Your Honor just said, which is any facts that relate to him directing any individual to do a particular activity and do it in a routinized way or anything like that.
But if they say, I work for Lopez Popoca, you know, isn't that enough?
I don't think so, because it's merely a conclusion. I mean, that puts the decision of, in this case, he loses the safety valve over it. There's no question about that. It's a significant impact on his sentence. He goes from 188 months down to considerably less, mm-hmm. But for this finding. So there has to be something more as far as factual development of what particularly and how did, when did, where did this defendant direct this individual to do any particular thing in relation to this activity.
Well, why couldn't the district court take this in a common sense way? These two people say they work for Lopez Popoca. The question is, whether he's a manager or supervisor. We're not talking about, you know, Boeing kinds of management structures. That's a common sense concept, too, in the guidelines. Why isn't that enough?
Well, I agree with Your Honor that we're not going to find a hierarchy. There's not anyone going to be there with the manager on his lapel, so to speak. So I think that what the court would look to in these kind of situations is the actual activities rather than the generalizations. I think what the court ought to require in this situation is that if you say you work for someone, then provide me some evidence of how that actually occurred rather than just the conclusion, I worked.
Well,
because I'm sorry, Your Honor, go right ahead. The reason is this. In these particular kinds of offenses, there is a considerable amount of fluidity, independent contractors moving in and out, and we have to fit this factual situation into a guideline that has a significant impact. So an individual who may choose to work at a particular level and doesn't necessarily have to take supervision or direction in order to do that work can at the same time be simply on a conclusion coming out of a DEA 6 all of a sudden be turned into someone who's been supervised or directed. I think there has to be something more on the factual side of what occurred in order to allow that conclusion to be made.
What evidence was there before the sentencing judge that someone other than Lopez Popoca supervised Pasion Rios and Delgado Ocasio?
I think that there's some evidence that, based even on the DEA 6s, as conclusory as they are, that I think it's Delgado Ocasio is supervised by Pasion Rios to some degree. He says that he is directing him. He takes the money, for instance, Pasion Rios, supposedly collects the money, that the other individuals does not, that they're operating in this at this address together, he is the individual who doesn't, in any situation, Delgado Rios, take any of those funds. Pasion Rios is the individual who supposedly receives and potentially separate cocaine from El Grande. So to our estimation of that evidence, you could have a separate operation going on here operated by that individual and not supervised by Lopez Popoca. It's the same, or that's the evidence, at least to some degree, that it's not done. Other evidence is simply that is just the lack of it. That is, there's nothing in the evidence showing that this defendant actually directed them in any particular way, did any factual thing that directed them.
Okay.
Thank you, Judge.
Morning, Mr. Porter.
I will be brief, but if I could answer just a couple of questions that you had posed before. The evidence showed that there were at least seven participants in this conspiracy. Mr. Lopez Popoca, Mr. Delgado Ocasio, and Mr. Pasion Rios are really the operative three for purposes of the manager-supervisor. There were the two Mexican nationals who supplied the narcotics, which Mr. Lopez Popoca acknowledged in his plea agreement, and which there was some additional evidence of from the safety valve interview of Mr. Pasion Rios. And then there were the two customers who were identified in Mr. Lopez Popoca's plea agreement as individuals A and B, who turned out to be the individuals who ultimately cooperated with the federal government and set up this, if you will, set up this last deal that resulted in the arrests of Mr. Lopez Popoca and his two associates. So there were at least seven, and the defendant, Mr. Lopez Popoca, acknowledged that in his plea agreement. In terms of the suggestion, I suppose, ultimately here is that, well, there's no evidence. And I think we need to be clear. There are the plea agreements of the defendants, which were under oath, which are, I think, are more conclusory just because that's how they're written and that's how they're acknowledged. There is the safety valve interview of Mr. Pasion Rios, which puts significant meat on the bones, if you will, because he discussed how he was paid, how he received orders, how he was getting the shipments. He was working, it was the government's theory, certainly, for the defendant. And you have the deal itself that resulted in Mr. Lopez Popoca's arrest, which shows that the defendant himself was the person who was negotiating with the suppliers, was negotiating with the customers, and told them to go to that apartment where his crew essentially was working. That was the government's assessment of the evidence. The defendant had another assessment of the evidence, but we believe that the district court certainly got it right. At the very least, the district court did not commit clear error in determining that he was a manager supervisor. And so unless there are other questions, we would ask that Your Honors affirm Judge Hibbler.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I have something further, and that is to thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Because you as well were appointed, and you have represented your client ably. You really have the sincere thanks of the court.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And as always, the U.S.